Right, we're going.
Do it.
People will be shocked we're on time. No, you were on time last week, weren't you?
Yes, and the week before. Yeah,
yeah. The longer you keep talking, the more we're not.
Right, okay, we're going.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 508 of your Overseas Connection podcast. It's already 2019. We're doing a little bit of a year in review for 2018, this show. But before I get on with that too far, I want to talk a little bit about who's on the show. We have the lovely and delightful Kim Woods.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year.
We have the jolly and happy Robin Tate.
Happy New Year, everybody. Hope it's a good one for you.
And we also have, under the tin cups, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, Greg. It's great to be back.
Cheers, Mark. It's good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see all three of you. Indeed. Hey, if you are just tuning into this, we are a weekly podcast. We talk about video games and life, pretty much anything that comes to mind. And it happens all every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And we cannot forget our friends in the Central, 3 p.m. in the Central Time. Outside of that, you can watch us on twitch.tv/OC Podcast. We're also on mixer.com, same thing, /OC Podcast, and amazingly on youtube.com/OC Podcast. And if for some reason you can't join us live, we do put forward an audio-only version of the podcast, usually about the next day time frame-ish, and you can pretty much get that iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. All right. Outside of that, let's say hello and thanks for following us to some new Twitch followers. We've got Pablo Plays Video Games and also Steve19. That's an interesting way to spell Steve. It's STIIV19.
Yeah, three I's. Nearly as bad as Filthy.
Yes. Not quite as bad as Filthy. Hey, we've got some birthdays. Ooh. Kim.
Yes.
Who turned 21 today?
Well, let's see. We have Mr. Richard Natras, who had a birthday on the 4th, and Dan Netman, who had a birthday on the 5th. So right. Happy birthday, 21, fellas.
Yeah. 21 years twice. Yeah. Happy birthday, John.
I've got a new birthday song as well. You ready for this?
Well, let's hear it.
It's your birthday.
Can't go wrong with the Minions. What's wrong with you?
No, you really can, Mark. You don't want that song is officially here. Yeah, that's that song is at least sacked.
I'm fired.
You are on the cusp.
I like the song.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Yeah, so did I. Thank you.
Christ. When did this become a democracy?
A certain class to the show. It adds. Yeah. It's like Beethoven's 6th.
No, not really. But whatever. Happy birthday to both of you.
Indeed. Happy birthday.
So what we're going to do on this show, we want to kind of do a year in review. We want to talk about everything that happened this past year. Some of the big gaming moments, also some of the big life moments. We had a lot going on with the podcast crew, so we thought we'd just kind of recap the year a little bit and then dive into a little bit of our top five or ish, top five-ish picks of games that we played from 2018. And this can hopefully be something that, if you haven't played the game before, but you hear us talking about it, that I would say might be worth looking into. So that said, I think we should divvy this up. Everybody covers a month. So, Robin, I will let you start off covering.
Sit back, light your cigars.
Shit.
Okay, so look, it's been a fantastic. Looking back, I took a bit of time, frightened the podcast crew completely because I really did. I went through my Facebook feed back from January, and then pulled up True Achievements to have a look at the games that I'd played this year as well. And I'm not going to talk about all the games that I played this year, Greg. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But real quickly, can we talk real fast about one thing? And that is, I get feed updates from certain individuals. Most notably, one of the hosts on the show that is a Broncos fan that is not here. And honestly, it drives me nuts.
Oh, them automatic Twitter feeds, the XO feeds and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Jackass played such and such today. I don't fucking care if you played a game today. I don't need that in my feed. So I'm going to have to start being a little better about blocking my feed, apparently.
Well, hopefully you never block my feed. I'm just... nothing too naked and too rude comes your way. Anyway, so it was for me, and I know some of us have had a challenging year, so I count myself being unbelievably blessed at having a good year this year, work-wise, family-wise. Everything generally went okay this year. And looking back at some of the things and places that I've been this year, it's been phenomenal. I've travelled an awful lot, and I've met some fantastic people. And way back in January... you know, when Monster Hunter World was released back in January of last year, and Celeste. Yeah, and Celeste was released. Now, I've been playing Celeste.
Yeah, it's just come on yesterday.
Holy crap, what a game. It really is like Ori and the Blind Forest and Super Meat Boy had a baby.
It got some Game Awards as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it's
been highly
praised. Best indie game, yeah.
That's so I came out here at about 10 o'clock last night to play. And it was like 12:30, 1:00 when I went, holy shit, it's 12:30, 1:00. And it's just like one of those, holy crap, this is so difficult. I can't do it. But it has that feel of Portal. When you completed something, you felt clever.
Okay.
When you had to jump and fire across and get through, and how the hell you look at a screen and go, how the hell am I ever going to get through that? And you work it out. And, you know, you die 100 times working it out. But, yeah, so brilliant. Well, Celeste will be something we'll talk about over the next week or two. So back in January of this year, just looking at what happened, 19th of January here in the UK, snowpocalypse came. It went bananas, deep snow. We were snowed in for ages. And I had disappeared off for my first trip to Italy to eat ice cream in the middle of the snowpocalypse. So I spent 3 days in Bologna at a big trade show, all of the best in ice cream. So, you know, why not talk about that? So, you know, it was January was good. Snowy.
No, I do remember during that time frame, all the constant pictures I was getting from all of our friends over the UK of just pictures of just absolute depression, of snow everywhere, of just, you know, not being able to really do anything and just misery. And then every once in a while, there would be a pop-up of a picture of a perfect Sunday, just right.
I remember the Beast from the East, the cold, but I don't remember that much snow, to be honest.
Yeah, no, there was a ton of it here. Yeah, 19th of January. And because where I live, I'm quite high up. I'm up with the gods. I don't know. Lots of even the closest town that I'm in, we're way out in the sticks, up in the hills. So the snow just stays here longer than normal. So yeah. So back in January, the gaming that I've done and had a real ball with it through December and January was Wolfenstein, and such a good game, the new Colossus. They've been wow. I mean, they always release those late in the year, so that probably would have been up there with Game of the Year for people last year. So that was my January.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, it was definitely a game up for my Game of the Year last year. I think the story, though, really was Monster Hunter World.
Mm.
Like, came out of nowhere. It came to, you know, kind of all consoles. It was no longer a Nintendo handheld, you know, exclusive. They brought it to consoles. And, I mean, people could not stop talking about this. It just took over the conversation of any gaming outlets. Save for, I think, ours. I don't think we really got into Monster Hunter World.
Kim, you bought it, Kim, didn't you?
I got it, yeah, but I didn't get very far. I mean, I liked the idea of it because, you know, you had the monsters and the dragons and all that stuff. But really, unless you have a group of people that can go in with you to attack these things, I didn't get very far.
Amras was all over this, wasn't it?
Amras, Hardly Dan, and there was quite a few of them there, but yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought for sure, Kim, you would have really gotten into this, just given the fact that you had a cat as a sidekick that you could have.
I know, right? And I liked it, but like I said, you really need other people in there to help you, because I took on one by myself, and to this day, I still haven't got it killed. So, you know, I am a terrible monster hunter. I'll put it that way, you know.
That was our year kicked off. Wow. Yeah. Brian. Yeah.
Year started off fast. February rolled in. February was a very light month in terms of the gaming world. Really, nothing big came out. Robin, I think you put this in there. Tesla sent the Tesla sports car was sent into space.
Yeah, all us nerds got a laugh out of that. You know, that was cool. And what was it, Space Odyssey he played as well when it got up there? It was
right.
And there was a little hitchhiker's guide, Don't Panic, on it as well. So yeah, that was a nice memorable moment. Yeah.
Go ahead, Robin.
Sorry, speaking of rockets and stuff today, just before we came on here, Charlie has been banned from Xbox. I'll talk about that later. So he's stuck. He's no computer. And I don't know, we were on YouTube and we were watching, there's some stuff about rockets came on. I thought, I missed the space shuttle. So I went through the space shuttle launches for him and it coming down and landing. And I said, Apollo was even better. And we went through the Apollo launches and then how big it was and the moon buggies. And I was only a wee, like 5 months old when that happened. And Greg was 5 years old. And, you know, it was good because the kids these days, that's long distant history. So all the stuff that we get excited about, like Tesla sports cars in space, that's crazy. Can you imagine strapping one of those to an Apollo 11 rocket? Oh, you wouldn't mind.
No, I think
I love it all. Love it.
What's truly crazy is when you think back, and then just to totally sidetrack this, but when you think back to what technology we had at at our fingertips when we went to space the first time. We might as well have just gone up in literally a tin can, with some strings attached to it, because it pales in comparison to the tech they have now.
Just recently, the Chinese landed on the dark side of the moon. Not a manned mission, but a probe, was it?
Yeah.
On the dark side of the moon. I wonder if the Transformers
were
there.
Space Force!
I wonder if that Transformer was there.
Yeah, you'll be getting your Just Eat from the other side of the moon very shortly.
We'll be fighting wars on the moon and on Mars. That's the next battle for us. All right, Kim, why don't you talk about March?
You ready? Let me roll over there. Roll over to March. I was on Twitch, so sorry. March, we had Sea of Thieves released. Far Cry 5 was also released. And let's see, Robin played Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Thieves.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about me.
And apparently he wasn't happy about it by any stretch of the imagination because there was a sad face there. And Mark and Jenny was in the ICU for 2 weeks. So
see,
that's also a sad face.
That pales in comparison to anything else we talk about games.
True. I had a very roller coaster year last year. A lot of highs and a lot of lows.
This was
up and down, up and all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately, this was kind of the kickstarter to a tough year, Mark. Phrase it any other way, but she obviously came out of it. She's just fine now.
Yeah, she's just behind me.
Yes, but let's focus back in on the two games. Far Cry 5, I know, I didn't get on with Far Cry 5 really well. I kind of fell off of it pretty quick, but I loved the story behind it. I loved the idea of Far Cry 5. Mark, I know you really enjoyed your time with Far Cry 5.
It's a love-hate relationship I have with Far Cry 5. I finished a game. I really enjoyed the gameplay and the open world part of it. But the story, I didn't enjoy that much. The premise of the story I liked, but the actual the way it was delivered with these, where the bosses kidnapped you and took you to the bunker and and tortured you and the bliss and everything, I thought that was a bit naff. And the ending, oh my God, that ending. I'm still frustrated with that ending right now. But it has set up the next game. So if you haven't played it, spoilers. But yeah, the next game is post-apocalyptic, so it's going to carry on. The gameplay,
Robin,
I really enjoyed the gameplay.
Far Cry 5?
No, I didn't, because you put me off it. I have Far Cry 4, and I'm still to get it, and I don't know, maybe there's just been too many. Maybe it needed a break or a refresher. A lot of them sort of fell into the sameness again.
I think that's exactly my problem with Far Cry 5, and it's a problem I actually had with a few other games that later came out this year, but or 2018, I should say. It felt very formulaic.
Before it came out, it showed so much promise.
Right.
You know, the story and you know, how they were going to bring that all in. And a bit like the other game we'll talk about in a second or two, there was so much promise, but it sort of fell off, even more so the second game, the Sea of Thieves. But, yeah, I think it fell into not enough substance, too much promise, maybe.
Yeah, and Mark alluded to it. So you would be in kind of the open world, and you would be, you know, maybe trying to take on a side mission or a side quest type thing. But the game every once in a while would just force your hand into a story progression point. And so regardless of what you were doing, suddenly you were being captured and in a sense kind of taken prisoner. And, you know, the notion was you would eventually escape and that kind of progressed the story forward. And that didn't really work well. I think a lot of people took exception to that.
When the people were after you to come and get you, you knew you were going to get sucked into that story part. And I tried hiding up a water tower, and I was sniping the enemies coming at me. And out of nowhere, a sleeper dart got me miraculously. Like, that had never happened. But it was the other way around as well. You'd be doing a mission, a normal sort of like story mission, not one of the right. sort of like boss missions, and you'd get that stupid airplane flying over you, shooting you all the time when you're trying to do a mission. It would keep failing you on your mission because it would get you all the time. So it had its niggles. So I think that's enough for that game.
Well, let's talk about the game that was full of promise and maybe fell short of that promise.
We had lots of fun with Sea of Thieves. We had lots of fun with it. And it was a good game. But there was not enough content from day one, so we had all our fun immediately, and then we'd pretty much done everything you could do, so there wasn't anything more to come back to. Now, maybe if we went back to it now, it would be full of great stuff.
I do want to check it out, only because I know they have added a ton of NPC-type content into the game. And quite frankly, from my perspective, the two things the game lacked was a true progression system that would pellet feed you to want to do more. Mm-hmm. They offered up cosmetic items, but the cosmetic items were just that. They were cosmetic. You also were playing a first-person mode. Some people said, hey, well, when you play music in third-person, you'll see your gear. That's not enough.
I wanted to have a ship that was a little ship that I could get stuff and make my own ship bigger and better and more badass, and it was persistent in the world. I didn't want the general thing that cost $6 million to buy a tiny little seal somewhere for it. You know, I wanted to customize my own ship, paint it purple or do whatever I wanted to do it, you know.
Mark, you and I think I probably had the most fun when you and I were out on the seas and we got into a big gun battle with another boat, and
we kept trying to outrun each other all the time.
But outside of that, this game just as fun and beautiful the water was. I mean, you know, it looked the part. It just, I think this is a clear case of, you know, gameplay does matter. Content does matter. And when you are designing something that's going to be a persistent game, Kim, I don't know. I mean, did you get on with Sea of Thieves?
I did not. But by the time I got around to playing Sea of Thieves, everybody else was playing something else. So it was another one of them deals where I tried to play it by myself. And you can imagine how well that went. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the chat there, Nerd Allegiance is saying, you know, games like Sea of Thieves, they were released too early, in his opinion. And I think there was a bit of pressure from Microsoft to get that out because they were under so much pressure to put original content out. And, maybe they shouldn't have.
I think if, you know, even with the content issues aside, I think if Microsoft could have, or Rare, maybe let's put this on Rare, not so much Microsoft per se, but if Rare could have created an actual third-person option so you could look through third-person, kind of like in PUBG, you have the ability to play it in first-person or third-person, and you see your gear when you're in third-person. For whatever reason, that makes a difference. It helps the immersion, so to speak.
Did other games... come out. You know the one that was based off sort of Assassin's Creed ship battles, and it was only ship battles?
No, Black Sails. Never come out.
No,
Black Sails.
It's not out yet. It's not yet.
It's supposed to go into beta, I think, early first quarter this year.
Okay.
But the other aspect of it is just the combat system I felt was really shallow. And that was the other thing I think that hurt the game, especially when it came to PvP.
Oh, yeah.
It was slash, and block, and that was it. And
I would give a big shout out to one of the nicest experiences we've had with a stranger.
Stranger danger.
Mm-hmm. One of the first times we went down, we had a really hard time from a guy that was complaining that we didn't know how everything worked. And then we immediately popped in to a lovely chap who we play with. And, nice shout out. There are nice people out there.
It was originally called Max Faded, his game tag, but he's actually changed his Switch stream to his name, Stephen. Daddy Steve or something, yeah. But yeah, he keeps popping in our chat now and again. I keep watching his stream when I can, but he's on the West Coast like you are, Greg, so he streams at odd hours for me. But yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He's a solid fella, yeah. Mm. Yeah, okay. Cool, well, disappointment. We'll see if anything happens. We'll see if Thieves or just sinks.
April. Some good releases in April. We had, in my opinion, one of the best games ever.
Boy.
Which was God of War. God of War released in April on the PS4.
Right.
Nintendo released their cardboard put together pieces of shit Nintendo Labo. And we had a meetup at the Arcade Club, what the VG, Veteran Gamers Boys, arranged. And that was one of three times I met Robin this year.
Yeah. So I took Charlie over to it.
And you still like each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. we got up. There's a nice video of it. Actually, done the sort of the day on my feed somewhere. Charlie and I took him over. He's a bit young to go to EGX and things like that. So this sort of thing is perfect for him. And the arcade club up in Bury is brilliant. We had a great day with all of the veteran gamer guys. There's just loads of people there, just from all over. That was a good fun day. I think it actually is going to be done this year as well again. I hear them talking about
Robin, this also was the launch of the Robin and Judith show.
Yeah, 4th of April was Robin and Judith. Yeah, and you know what? I think there was 27 or 28 episodes every week, and we lost a lot of weight, and I think it's going to get resurrected this year again to get my bikini bod back, because I don't want to scare you. So, Judith and I had lots of fun. We had a weekly 3-minute thing or 4-minute thing on YouTube on our channel, and had a laugh with it, losing some weight.
You guys played off one another very well. It was inspirational.
It was good. It was funny because we would be strangers in the street would come up to Judith or in the doctor's or surgery or the chemist or wherever we were, and Judith, I'm shouting for you. So it was good. we'll do that again. We'll do that again. That was good. That was a good time. So cardboard Labo stuff. I would love to play with it. I really would.
Well, let's talk about that because Labo. It was Nintendo's kind of big deal for the year. I think that and one other game, it was really kind of the cornerstone of what they were doing this year. I think Nintendo really hoped Labo was going to take off even more than it did. And I say take off more than it did because early on, it had some steam. People started picking it up. The reviews were coming in. People were saying, this is actually pretty cool. But let's be honest. That conversation has died.
It's still selling. I would be surprised if the numbers were really poor at Christmas time. I would say that was seen as a stocking filler and a pickup.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty expensive stocking filler. Mm-hmm. But I think, the other challenge for Labo was going to be, word of mouth had to carry it pretty far because a lot of people I don't think were really going to be willing to take a chance on Labo given the price tag. Again, I'll be honest, all the early reviews I heard, it was very positive. It worked surprisingly well, but it was all difficult to make. Nobody came out and said this is super easy to make. So it was challenging, and It was stuff that was going to sit in your house. And I would love to see numbers on this because I'm not convinced Labo has performed exceptionally well. I think it started off really warm and it has grown cold.
Well, at EGX, Mark, you would have seen it, Mark. I mean, there was a big showing of Labo at EGX this year, and the people were smiling with it and loving it. Yeah. My problem with it is I've just let Corey and Taylor start to play out here with it on Fortnite so they can play one on Xbox and one on the Switch. But to think I'm going to let them take those controllers out and put them into a piece of cardboard yeah. and pretend to drive it or fly it or throw it around like a fishing rod. No, anything's happening. This is not a DS anymore that can be kicked around and abused. You know, and this is a delicate enough item, and I'm not. That's the problem I have with it.
It will be interesting to see. Do they come out with Labo 2? I mean, this year's going to be telltale for that.
If I see it for 20 quid or 15 quid sometime, I'll pick up a kit and we'll build it. So,
all right.
We'll see.
We'll do it. Hey, God of War.
Yes.
Let's give God of War a little love. This was the bad father simulator of the year. but in all seriousness, Sony started off. I mean, if you want to talk about Monster World really kicked off the year strongly, surprisingly out of the gate. God of War was a game that I think when it was first announced, a lot of people were like, okay, they're taking this beloved franchise, they're turning it into an action game. It's no longer, the isometric, third-person view, beat 'em up. There was a lot of concern. Mm-hmm. And it came and, like, kicked the door in. That would be Mark saying, sorry, we can't hear.
Sorry, sorry. I was going to type share it in the chat, but it activated my soundboard. Sorry.
I miss the days of Robert doing the mixing. Such a professional. It's okay, Mark. We know you're beginner. It's okay. Anyway, so God of War. Mark, I know you played it. Robin, did you play God of War?
No, it's here. My dust machine is here.
I have it, though, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, so
Gary's just finished it as well.
Well, we don't talk about Gary. Fuck him.
I want to play God of War. But I also want to play Spider-Man, which is sitting here, and so many other bits and pieces. So
I have to finish Red Dead 2 first. So
Right.
But so God of War, it really showed well. Let's face it, it won a number of awards for Game of the Year through a lot of organizations. A fantastic showing for Sony, and honestly, a bit of a surprise. I mean, here's this huge game coming out in April, taking kind of the gaming community by storm. Nobody, outside of Nintendo Labo, I think was really the only true competition to God of War at the time. And that was kind of the first quarter of the year done, a little over first quarter of the year done. And we already had two games that you could easily say were part of Game of the Year conversation in Monster Hunter World and God of War.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think God of War is going to be one of those classics up there with The Last of Us and things like that. Yeah.
A game I want to talk about, and Robin, it's actually on your playlist, so I like that you listed it there. Late Shift. This was a game that got added into Game Pass. It was a game that I don't think it was on any of our radars.
No.
It was a FMV, full motion video game, basically a choose your own adventure type game.
Yeah.
And it was surprisingly good.
Yeah, so there's been all that fizz about the Netflix Black Mirror, the Bandersnatch, right. And this, for people that are watching Bandersnatch that aren't video gamers, they probably really enjoyed Bandersnatch and those options, where Late Shift was a full production with an awful lot more options to that. And the acting was pretty solid, and the story was half decent. So if you've never played Late Shift, it's worth doing. Story of a guy that gets mixed up with people on a heist, and the decisions he has to make. Does he become a baddie or a goodie, or does he get to the end? And so, it was very original content. I like 100%.
Kind of on the heels of that, just you mentioned Netflix. Apparently, they've taken Minecraft Story. and they have put it on Netflix as well as a choose-your-own-adventure story to go through. So
That would work too, yeah.
Yeah. So I have a feeling Netflix is exploring this, and they're seeing kind of a, hey, this could be our way of capturing some of that gaming community and keep them coming to Netflix. All right, well, let's move over to May. We saw Detroit Become Human release. I don't know that it was just a huge release, but it was one that had a bit of controversy around it.
David Cage.
Yeah, David Cage's studio had a bit of a kerfuffle around.
Bad behavior.
Employment practices. But Detroit Become Human got reasonably good scores. It was, I think, followed along a little bit of his kind of traditional, choose your own adventure storytelling kind of formula.
But he had a phenomenal. It had a phenomenal amount of options in it as well. So.
Yeah. Did any of you guys touch Detroit Becomes Human, Mark?
No.
Mark?
No, not played it, no.
Sorry. It's a Stu Fowler classic.
All right. Well, I think outside of that...
I think Pete Chin played it and liked it. Or one of his kids did, but yeah. Oh, no, I've not played it.
Okay. Yeah. Rob and I remember you had embarked on Guitar Lesson. This was actually the first time you touched the guitar.
Yes, how's that going? It's not going very well. I came to the conclusion after about 6 weeks of going at it and the little calluses that came on my fingers that YouTube is not the place to learn. but I couldn't find the right lessons to take me further. So it's still here. I am this year going to try and track somebody down to give me proper lessons because it's something I really want to do.
I would say in-person lessons probably – a good first step.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can supplement with some YouTube. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. And we had another wee trip. We were off to Edinburgh. We had a lovely weekend in Edinburgh. So more flights, more eating. Edinburgh. It was good. I like Edinburgh.
Through all of this time, you were still in your losing weight challenge with Judith. I think this was the beginning of a bit of...
Competition.
Some challenges as well, because with the continued travel, that travel is hard. If anybody ever is trying to lose weight, travel does not lend itself to that easily.
I think we ended up on a fantastic barbecue joint that weekend too. That was good. Okay, we're in Jamie Oliver's restaurant, one of his too. Well, yeah, goodness me, it was all go. My goodness. And then we're into June. E3! Yeah. Whoa!
Before we get there, Kim, can you do me a favor real quick? Some shout-outs on the chat.
Sure. Well, of course, Sarah is there. RCGC, Nerd Allegiance has been there. Let me get my phone. I've got a list. So, we have AZ Plays 21 is in there now. We have Commander Root. Filthy has been in there. Slow Cool. Jim E. Satoru. And Apleth TV. So... thanks for coming along.
TV should be Apeless. I just want to point that out.
Apeless.
Hello.
All right. Yeah, June. So June, E3. This was, it's our Christmas as gamers. We love E3. I was fortunate enough to get into the E3 Xbox conference. So on a whim, I just said, screw it. I bought a plane ticket. I flew down the day of the conference, went to the conference, and immediately jumped on a plane and flew back. So I didn't actually have a pass to E3.
But when you left the auditorium, you walked across the road and you were knocked down. I've been simulated in the computer and you're actually flying around space. This is all a dream.
It's all a dream.
Silly monkeys. Silly monkeys.
Yes, silly monkeys. So E3, there were... it was kind of a quiet E3 on one hand. There weren't a lot of big announcements that came out of...
oh, my goodness.
Sorry. I just got a delivery. There were not a lot of big announcements, I think, that came out of E3 on a whole. It was a little bit more quiet year for big game announcements. We had the likes of Fallout 76... CD Projekt Red announced Cyberpunk officially showed that. Microsoft, I think, probably had the biggest announcements in terms of the acquisitions of studios. They picked up Undead Labs, Play Games, Compulsion Labs, and Ninja Theory. They also had one other, and because it was five
that was later on, studios, it was new, wasn't it?
No, they actually all had right. five studios at the conference, and I'll have to all remember right. what.
Yeah, it was the guys who did the We Lucky Few, wasn't it?
Yes. Yep. So, anyway, the big thing was they were committing to first party. They were picking up studios that either needed some help or just wanted the safety of being under a publisher's umbrella. To some, especially the Ninja Theory acquisition, I think was a big blow to fans from other. Consoles, mainly PlayStation, because they had made Hellblade, and that was such a fantastic game, and that first came out on the Sony platform, so that was a big shock, I think, in that regard. But outside of that, that was, I think, kind of the biggest news coming out of E3.
Future news. News for the future.
Yeah. It wasn't like exciting news because there was no games that got announced with it. It was just, you know, the acquisition of the studios. I think the other big thing that happened was Robin, you committed several felonies in Amsterdam attending Chinny's stag party.
God almighty, yeah. Yeah, I'd never been to Amsterdam before. And fair play to Mike because he invited me and Stu Fowler as well. And he had all his future brother-in-laws and all his mates. And I'd never met them, never talked to them. They're not gamers as such. And holy shit, we fitted in about a week into a weekend. Yeah, that was... I experienced so many things. You know what?
We're not one talking about that, Robin.
I don't mean that. Yes, we did go to some of those shows, and it's like going to watch your mummy hanging your clothes in your clothesline. It's ridiculous how unsexy a lot of that stuff is. But the fun and the laughs that we had, unbelievable. Yeah, and a wee bit of wacky weeds here and there and stuff like that.
No.
Completely legal.
There you go, yeah. I've just got it on stream. It's you're all dressed as Mario and Luigi's, and Chinny is Princess Peach.
Yeah, that was a highlight. Yeah, you know, there was like 12 or 14 of us walking around Amsterdam dressed in the happiest outfits ever. So everyone, you know, we weren't dressed up as something horrible or zombies or something, doctors or something like that. You know, it was this happy character. And it did nothing but, you know, make people laugh and smile and seeing Mario and Luigi and Princess Peach with a beard. That was...
Princess Peach with a beard. That should be something.
Yeah, strangely alluring.
Mike is a strangely alluring dude, I have to admit.
So I shared a room with Stu Fowler, and it was a hostel we stayed in. And if you remember... When I arrived at this hostel, I went, okay, you know, whatever goes, you know, it's not the hotel around the corner where I would normally stay.
Right.
So I walked in and it was like, you know, the room in the back of the door was, you know, no weed to be smoked in the room and no one was here. And I was like, prisoner at cell block H, two tiny little metal bunk beds with Stu on top and me below. And oh, it was interesting.
Nice.
And a certain guy that I won't mention his name for He had a lovely one of the little brownies, and another one of the chaps, one of Mike's mates, had the brownie, right? So they're sitting there going, "Hey, well, you know, the funny thing about that is, my wife," but nothing happened. But about 4 hours later, in a taxi cab to somewhere else, he got the giggles, almighty giggles, and he was out zoned. Oh, it was good. It was good weekend. So thanks, Mike Chin, if you're listening. I loved my time at your stag. It was brilliant.
Yes. So that means we transition into July. I think, Mark, you're probably the person to talk about the month of July just because of your excitement around
a certain
event.
Yeah, the whole nation thought football was coming home. We had a good run in the first early games, but It all went to pot in the end, like it normally does. But yeah, no, it was a good run. It was a good run. It was a good run. We got to the semifinals. Yeah, we got to the semifinals. Yeah.
I want to point out.
We did play a good team. Got knocked out by Croatia.
Yeah, I want to point out that for like 3 weeks solid, my WhatsApp, my Twitter feed, everything was filled with these freaking images of It's Coming Home.
Yeah, videos.
Every other
songs
moment.
And,
it's coming home. Mm-hmm. It's coming home. It's coming home.
Yeah, the whole nation was on fire with it. It was a really good atmosphere for a short period of time. For the, like 2.5 weeks.
Back to Brexit.
Yeah. and then another great thing that happened in July is we met, me and Robin and Phil and Richard Webster all met Duke Scaff. He came over from the US to do a tour of Europe, and he came to the UK, and we all met up. Yep. And we surprised Stu.
Got on a plane again. That was brilliant. That was, I mean, there's a photograph you have up here on the notes.
Yeah,
of yourself and Rich and Phil and myself. We have four podcast guys all together. Such a surprise. And I think Stu wins the photograph of the year for his look of surprise when Duke came in shouting, "Leroy Jenkins!" It was lovely meeting Eric and his wife. And it was it was like Christmas. It was a lovely, warm, fuzzy feeling day.
Those of us sort of memories you cherish. Man. And I'll never forget what day. It was such a good day.
Yeah, and Richard Webster.
By the way, my wife just delivered me a margarita.
Ah, lovely. Richard Webster met Eric. And they didn't fight or shoot each other.
Some of the gifts what Rich gave him was so funny. He gave him a box of Tetley tea bags. He gave him a Trump hat. Did he? Was it Trump hat? Yeah. Some toilet roll with Trump's face on, so he can wipe his ass with him. Yeah, it was good.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
but it brings home how good this community is. You know, and over the last 10 or 12 or 15 years, how real, really good bonds and friendships have came out of this talking about.
And not just within our own podcast, between other podcasts as well, because there's quite a few different hosts from various podcasts. Was guys from Boss Wave, Veteran Gamers, obviously. There was Step J from Pedamela, the one before Pedamela. Oh my god! Oh, True Skill, nearly forgot that. True Skill, So Step J was,
It's easy to forget them because we kick their ass.
Yeah, we kick their ass. We had to give up.
And Sue was there as well, who we hadn't seen since London days of EGX. You know, so it was fantastic. Yeah. Loved it.
A famous female podcaster on this podcast, indeed.
Yeah.
Also, that month, I got to take my wife for her birthday up to Lake Tahoe, and we went and saw Keith Urban, which, if you have not seen a Keith Urban concert, I highly, highly recommend. Fantastic entertainer. What a great show. So
I didn't even know who he was when you said you was going to see
him. We've researched him since then.
And I've forgotten who he is now. He's married to someone who I like, but...
Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Anyway, so August. Robin,
I got on a plane again. Yeah, I went to Lake Garda in Italy, and I swam in Lake Garda. I've done lots of things in Lake Garda. You've seen a lot of the stuff that I did. But the thing that you don't know is I took my life in my hands because... The same I mentioned, Stu Fowler, had been in Lake Garda just a week or two beforehand. And after I came home, he told me he peed several times in the lake. So I feel I have Stu Fowler in me somehow or another.
Yeah.
You gotta admit,
I mean, even though you know, it's a big lake, it's kind of unsettling.
Stu pee.
Speaking of other things, Kim, you announced that you were expecting a second nephew.
Nephew, yes.
Like, you know, I was
just
going to
let that hang for a moment, just have a little fun with it.
And we just found out he's going to be a little boy, and they're going to name him Owen James, unless, of course, they change their mind again, because they've already changed it twice. So... But as of now,
they could flip it. James Owen. I think that would also work.
Well, that was one of them that they changed. Then they flipped it around to Owen James, and they decided they liked that better. So we'll see. So,
and
yes,
as
Tony.
As long as he never gets to drive a white Bronco.
That one's already been brought up. So somebody's already mentioned that one. So, but Tony's excited to be a big brother, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So May, we'll know. He'll be here, hopefully. Everything goes right, so.
On Tim, back to the rescue.
Not as much as I was before. And Tim's ass is retired.
You say that.
I say that now, and I'll be saying it then, too, so don't worry.
All right, so we made it into September. Mm-hmm. September actually started off, really August was kind of the kickoff of the holiday push. But you know, outside of Madden, I don't think there were any big games to hit in August. I think really September kind of was the kickoff to the big titles coming out. We had, so just in terms of big games, Marvel Spider-Man Insomniac. That was released to a big fanfare. Shadow of the Tomb Raider also released, much quieter though. I think it was being overshadowed, quite frankly, by Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Yep.
And his puddles.
And so those were the two big games that came out. Telltale, unfortunately, announced they were having a majority studio closure, that they had basically run into financial problems. And quite honestly, this was a big story that probably didn't get enough attention. They laid off more than 90% of the staff. They had no kind of severance packages set up for these people. I mean, it was almost as if they spent all their money up to the very last moment trying to make more money and not keep the welfare of these employees in mind. It was a very, very, very poorly handled situation.
I mean, you talked about these guys earlier on that Netflix are putting on Minecraft story mode on Netflix. So yes, Microsoft's getting a kick out of that. But Telltale, or whoever owns Telltale, or the administrators, or whoever that is there, they're still making money. I mean, they didn't give them that to Netflix for 30 quid.
I mean, it's not like all these games got pulled off the market, but I mean, clearly there was a mismanagement of their studios. I think they took on too many projects and too much staff. And quite frankly, it seemed like all they did is they kept on taking on more projects and more projects to try and bring in more money. And eventually it caught up to them because they couldn't actually produce content. And suddenly you run into problems.
Well, I suppose the silver lining on that cloud is that is it Spellbound? Isn't it? What do they call the company that owns Walking Dead?
Skybound.
Skybound.
They
have now taken it on to finish the last series of The Walking Dead. So,
well, the guy who owns that company is the guy who created it, Robert Kirkman. So.
Right,
I think he felt compelled to take it on. I think
somebody needs to do Wolf Among Us 2 and do that one.
Well,
please.
And so, just to kind of bring this back to the human side, because I think that's all well and good that they're trying to finish out those games, but again, the big true sad part of this is so many people lost their jobs, and really, the company did nothing to help them out. I mean, you know, there was no severance. There was no, hey, here's 2 weeks' pay. Nothing.
No.
It was, you're done. Pick up your stuff and go. And good luck. And that's a horrible way to get let go.
Tough situation.
Hearts go out to those individuals.
I've been there. I mean, you'd like to think, and it was stupid of the management that maybe they were holding on. Hoping that something would come or a deal would be done, and it didn't. And the pot was completely dry and they didn't have any money. But what pisses me off is it's still making money. It's still there, you know. It's not too late to give severance to those people. Do right by them, you know. But on Happier Times, September is always about
EGX.
Is it about quite honestly. September is not about EGX. It's about my birthday. But I'll let you have a moment to celebrate EGX.
Yeah, well, you had things to do, too. You made people.
Yes, we'll be talking about that.
So EGX, wow. Another fantastic year. And it was bugger all squared to do with games.
Yeah.
The reason it was so spectacular was the stuff that went on at EGX. And this year, for me, again, another first-class episode of Drunken Debauchery. I had an absolute ball. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Friday evening, we had our own bit of a do in a big restaurant with lots of drink. And then we had the Midlife Gamer thing going on, and I got very bad. Yeah, there is. Yeah. The episode 2 of EGX has been released. Mark?
Yeah, well, I've got your Joshua's video playing at the moment.
Yeah, see that?
That's well, safe well, for work content.
Part 2 of Mike Chin's thing about EGX, I feature just a little bit in it.
Just a wee bit?
Yeah. This video was all about the... was a barometer on the screen, and it's all about the levels of drunkenness of me.
All right, I'm not getting it yet.
And it goes from 5% to completely fucked. So, yeah, watch that. That's, EGX Day 2, or Part 2. Yeah, that was good. So, yeah, EGX, love EGX. And on the Friday night, thank you to everybody that came to the restaurant. Big restaurant, not exactly what we thought it was going to be. There wasn't enough nerd space to get our switches out. But one of the highlights for me was meeting Dorian, who's now back in the UK, right. And meeting Parsnip for the very, very first time, another first. And that was fantastic. And we were very, very well supported on that Friday night. And now we're back to London. Well, we'll see what we can do next time this year. So yeah, that was
Robin,
EGX.
You also went to a concert. ELO,
Electric Light Orchestra. Oh, brilliant night! Again, I was with some friends. I didn't have to fly this time. I did fly to EGX again, but I didn't. I was in Belfast, and I stayed with some old friends that I hadn't seen in like 30 years. I hadn't socialized with them. So this is my Undertaker friend and his brother and his sister, who we mucked about as kids. We had an Airbnb in Belfast.
Undertaker.
Yeah. He has his own undertaking business, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And
a shortage of customers.
We had a ball. We had lots of feckin' whiskey to 4 in the morning.
Ooh.
And some halal chicken beforehand. You know, as you do at 3 in the morning. Oh, what's it's open? Chicken halal, please.
I don't know, Robin. You've been known to shut some bars down. I think this is becoming a thing.
First one and last one out generally is the thing with me, unfortunately.
Good.
Do we need an intervention?
No. It's not on special occasions, but there was a lot of special occasions this year. So that was really good. But you, Greg, you got to meet someone as well.
Yes, yes. I was fortunate enough to meet Tara Chinney. I say that, Tara Chinney. Tara and Mike came out to the U.S. For their honeymoon. So Mike from Veteran Gamers, Mike Chin, and his lovely wife, Tara, came out. They stayed out in San Francisco for a few days. We came out and met up with them, had a fantastic time, and they got to meet Mike in person. So this was another one of those check marks off a bucket list. Robin, you were the first one last year, and Mike was a follow-up act this year. So I'm just slowly but surely checking those off.
You made them sick.
Be checked off.
Oh, you made Tara sick.
Yeah, but yeah. Didn't have a long honeymoon, did they?
No. Tara did get a little ill, but you know what? They're planning on potentially coming back out.
Yeah, I think so. Lovely.
Apparently,
people.
I'm not invited. No, looking forward to hopefully seeing them again. They said they might come back out for a honeymoon part due, and would love to see them again.
Speaking of honeymoons. What was the other big honeymoon? The thing that started the partnerships, the new relationships, the new people that came into the fold. What was that?
Yeah, so this was you know, a big year for us in terms of podcast staff. We added 2 new people. One has been a great contributor, Phil Fee. Phil Olson joined the podcast and has contributed a ton to the show. We also brought on Gary DeFelice, who
fuck that guy.
Loved the man to death, repeatedly told us, I'm not available.
right?
And I jest. But Gary was brought on just to give us another option And let's face it, he needed a podcast that was actually going to do more than one podcast in a year. So we brought Gary on, we brought Phil on, and it's been great having both of them as part of the team. Phil has really also stepped up, introducing the new OCD D&D or OCD D&D podcast. So if you haven't heard that, that is a podcast team playing Dungeons and Dragons on Skype. Or whatever the system they use
just
is.
Just keep boxes away from me. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, yeah. But that's been good fun, and it's been a nice addition to the podcast deliveries. So there's been that. I went to Florida and did the Disney World tour. That was kind of insane. We were out there for a full week, and originally I was thinking, we'll go to Universal, we'll go to Disneyland. We spent our entire time at all the Disneyland parks. I'm so sick of Mickey Mouse, but it was awesome. And I will say Animal Kingdom, by far my favorite park.
Good. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Everest. Yeah. Quick correction. Yes. I went to see ELO in October, not September. Correction.
Correction ELO! Made. But regardless, by the way, funny fact, that was the first album I ever bought. Was
album.
ELO.
Which one?
Yes.
Album. That's like a film.
Time? Was it Time? See, ELO has a nerd factor too. Because Time is the album which is sci-fi, spacey, all about going to space, future. I fell in love with a robot and all that sort of stuff.
I can recreate
that. That hooked me.
The photograph from the stadium, what you took, I can recreate that. You're just staring at loads of bald old men from the backs of their heads.
It was a stadium that was a shade of gray. Let's just say that.
Well, it's hard to take photographs there, but we had fantastic seats. We were just right above the stage. It was brilliant. Yeah, had to
kill pictures, people. Your pictures from ELO reminded me a lot. I actually went to a Neil Diamond concert. Very similar vibe.
Who?
I was a youngin amongst a much older crowd, but surprisingly, your audience had a decent mix of old and young.
I know what you mean. It was a grilf fest. It really was. It wasn't even a milf fest. It was a grilf fest. It was grilf everywhere. It was unbelievable. Yes, I know what you mean. Yes. Sorry. Yes. I think the average age was probably about 35. If you take it as an average, there was you usually have one row of wheelchairs at the front of these for disabled people. There was about 20 rows.
Well, let's face it. The actual average age was probably about like 50, but there were a select few group that brought their like grandkids, and so they lowered the average age down considerably.
I'm glad there was no 50-year-olds at it. Not in my part, anyway. I'm gonna tell you.
No, not in your part. Kim, let's talk about October.
Let me get over to October because I'm still on the Switch. Alrighty, October. We have Red Dead 2 Redemption was released. Finally. Yep. Assassin's Creed Odyssey was released. And Forza Horizon 4 was released.
Yeah. Three, very big games, critically acclaimed, well-received. And I think between those three games, they really overshadowed pretty much everything else in the gaming industry that month. They kind of took over the conversation. I think Forza 4 really took over the conversation early.
Yep.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey kind of blipped up in the middle because they did release out just before Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. But everybody was waiting for Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, it was like they were just waiting for the hat to drop. And I can also say I don't think any of these games disappointed. I think they all hit their mark.
I gotta say, and I know I'm gonna get to it. Forza Horizon 4 is on my top five games of this year, and generally it's got in there every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the thing that I would say about Forza Horizon 4 is that it's too good, it's too super, it's maybe too soon. I maybe didn't need one because I was still playing and still the wonderful Forza Horizon 3 and the super little cars and the tracks, orange tracks.
Yeah, the
and
Hot Wheels.
There's so much content still there. It is fantastic, and it's a fantastic use of power for the Xbox One, and it looks beautiful. But that's what I love it. But it hasn't got me as much as the last ones have, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm hoping we get a little bit of a break from the driving games, because I think that there just have been a little too many on the heels of one another. So we'll see. We'll see how they handle that.
Yeah.
It was a busy month for me travel-wise. I was out in New York 3 times, I think, in a matter of 2.5 weeks. That was insane.
You've seen a lot of America during that time as well.
And all over. Kim.
Yes.
You had a new addition to the family.
Yeah, I have yet another nephew. Go figure. We're running rampant with nephews. Yes, Colton Allen Woods was born on the 26th, I believe. So, to my brother and sister-in-law. So, cute little fart. Wow. Yeah.
And rounding out October, I think the true highlight was watching the updates from Phil.
We're so excited. He got this, like, free, sort of like, well, not free, but his wife had something to do with his cruise, didn't she? She was...
No. I think he was the sort of the hired help. So he got his accommodation on the boat for free, and he cruised around the place. But I think it was a very rough cruise for him.
Yeah.
So because his wife was doing some classes or teaching as part of entertainment on the ship. But it was interesting seeing him there and
top it off when he came back. He got made redundant as well, didn't he?
Oh yeah, that's right.
A new job, yeah. So,
a tough year.
Yeah, but he bounced back after that, so at least that's a positive.
I'm amazed we've got to October and one thing hasn't been mentioned. It's there, PUBG.
I think PUBG isn't getting mentioned only because it was something that it was already out.
Yeah.
It didn't release new in, they had some new maps that came out. They had the Sandhook map that came out in September, but I mean,
it's been one constant thing in your life.
Yeah, it went 1.0 in September, but we actually got it the year before, December.
I played a shit ton of PUBG this past year. I played a lot, and I make no excuses for that. I still enjoy that game a ton. I still like playing that game. I still play that game.
Played this week?
I didn't feel, as terms of a review of the year, that it was really worth having the discussion of a game that was out over a year old. They did bring it to another platform. I suppose we can mention that when it comes to December. But as far as a recap of the year, I didn't feel like it was a real headline story, per se.
He talks about it every podcast anyway.
It's a given now, isn't it, Greg? It's part of our lives.
It is,
It is. Oh, Kim, God. Really uncalled for. Robin, why don't we walk through November?
Well, in November, the lovely creator of those guides, Prima Game Guides, said they're going to shut down after 28 years. I'm sure all of us have a guide of theirs somewhere.
One of you.
And it's probably a sign of the times.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, that information is there, readily available at the touch of the hand, and kids don't read anymore physical books.
Yep. And I was going to say, the Prima Guides were the original walkthroughs, right?
Yeah.
You bought the Prima Guides to get the tips to beat the game.
Yeah.
And all
the collectibles. Yeah.
But you think about the work that went into those, to get that out as on release. And I think, ones like my Fallout 3 one was tattered and worn. I had it for, Solid Snake.
Yep.
Metal Gear, and well turned and well, and didn't read it all, but you went to it when you got stuck somewhere. The Tendernet was there, but there was something lovely about having that physical book. So that's quite sad, but sadly, sign of the times. So again, Microsoft went on got the wallet open again, and they bought Obsidian and InXile. And that was at the XO18 event, which was resurrected again. That was for the first time in 10 years. And wasn't that in Mexico City?
Mexico. Yeah, you're looking at Robin.
Mexico City.
Yeah.
So,
right in your backyard, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those that don't know, we do make it often an inside joke about Irish Mexican
foreshadowing Bongo Weekend, Bongo Gaming Weekend.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Big news was Sony announced it won't be attending E3 2019. That was a bit of a shock.
Ooh, what does that mean?
That was a big shock.
The fanboy fuel on the fire went overtime. It was a lot of backwards and forth between Twitters and Facebooks. People just jumping to conclusions. Right. But at the end of the day, I don't think we've got to announce, have we, really?
Well, I don't think we will know the impact of that announcement until after E3 this year, and likely even after this year is done, because Sony may have other things planned, and likely we anticipate them potentially, or at least the scuttlebutt is they're going to make an announcement for the next console. So maybe they're going to have an event outside of E3, something that they can kind of control the message, control the venue. But nonetheless, it is a big blow to E3, them not being there. And it'll be interesting to see if they do come back to E3 maybe in the following year. Maybe they're just deciding to take this year off because they want to handle things their way. I don't know. This is really an unknown. Is it a negative? Is it a positive? We just don't know.
See,
on the surface, it sucks. On the surface, it sucks because I wanted Sony to be at E3 because I like E3. I like E3 week. I like the pageantry.
Yeah.
But I can't say for sure it's going to hurt.
You see, I'm still stuck on scuttlebutt.
Right.
Okay, and I had to look up the meaning of scuttlebutt because I've heard you use it the odd time before.
Oh, my God.
So a scuttlebutt was a cask on shipboard to contain fresh water for a day's use. And the reason you used it there is it's a drinking fountain on a ship or a naval or marine installation. It was the water cooler talk of the 19th century. You are a modern man, Greg Delisi.
I lass.
You're a parrot.
The water cooler talk. The scuttlebutt. Yes.
Scuttlebutt. I like that.
Speaking of more scuttlebutt, Robin, Pokemon Let's Go.
Yeah, poke me eye out, please. Yeah, yeah, Pokemon Go.
Some people really enjoyed it, though. Look at Kyle Adams. He's gone nuts over it.
Kyle Adams collects Lego characters.
Yeah, says it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mark. Mark.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I found out in November.
Granddad
again, number two. My second grandchild.
Holy crap.
It is due in June, I think. So yeah, we've got another scan in February to find out the gender. So we're going to have a gender reveal do. Yeah, exciting times.
The oldest member of the gaming podcast, the only grandfather we have. Phil's a grandfather, isn't he, as well?
Yes.
Yes. No, but you're the oldest one because you've got the most grandkids. You must be the oldest.
And then the OCD and D podcast began. That actually kicked off in November as well. So,
Phil in front of a PC and give him ideas.
And there should be a new episode
Robin,
very soon.
I'm going to let you finish the month out. I'll be right back. Okay.
Okay. November. That was like Halloween and stuff. And what did you do in November? Why don't you let us know? At OC_podcast. December happened then. Super Smash Brothers came out to all you Super Smash Brothers fans. People love Super Smash Brothers.
Why though?
I don't know.
Super Smash Your Buttons, brothers. There must be lots of skill to it because they have championships and all that sort of thing.
Our good friend Amar, he got a new Switch console for the special edition. Even though he's already got a Switch, he just got another console. And
just for this?
People just love it, don't they?
I heard people were pissed off at the story mode, saying it was a bit crap and a bit bland. But Super Smash Brothers, I think it must be something about millennials or kids that are born in like the 90s or late 80s. They're all Super Smash Brothers because it missed us out. You know,
I don't understand it.
want to understand. A good version of the VGA Awards happened. It's getting better and better every year. And God of War takes the title up there. It did have a really interesting... Greg.
Yes.
Mute your ass.
You can. Sorry.
It did have a really interesting thing this year in the VGAs, where it had the heads of Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo stand on the stage together. Now, they didn't hit each other and they didn't beat each other up, but they stood there and talked positively about the industry.
Hold on. Can I just – one thing. Yes. I really was hoping we were going to get out of that moment a big announcement of maybe crossplay. They were all embracing it. We're here for you, the gamers. And we got nothing. I mean, honestly, I felt like it was a great moment that really didn't deliver any kind of message.
Crossplay is like the big elephant in the room this year. It was one of those things we talked about that Sony took an awful lot of stick about. The Sony fans would say, well, they don't need to. They're way ahead of the game. But you know what? It's a service to gamers. It's not about that, you know, so... I think they've taken a lot of flack, and hopefully that they'll eventually come around. But again, what I said there, Greg, was the VGAs are getting more and more credible each year, getting better and better.
I do agree. I 100% agree. I thought the VGAs, from an award show standpoint, was the best year it's ever been. I thought it was very credible from how they presented the rewards.
Yeah, better than that Golden Joystick awards. Rubbish.
Yeah, I was going to say there was no Fortnite for Game of the Year, so...
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
So speaking of the head of the VGA Awards, yesterday morning I was lying, just chilling out, no Glenn, blah, 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 and I had a bit of YouTube on and came across this fantastic documentary, and he was in it as one of the speakers. It was made by NoClip guys and Danny Dwyer.
No, those are, by the way, the NoClip videos are fantastic.
No, this is about Half-Life. Okay. And so Valve didn't want to participate, but he went around and spoke to everybody from the creator of God of War to lots and lots of key industry people about how Half-Life has affected us all of a certain age that have played Half-Life, and how it's affected so many different games and how it continues on and how we're so over Half-Life 3, you know, and all that. It was really good. So if you look that up about NoClip and but Half-Life, it's really, really good. It's about 2 hours long. Very, very good. Well put together documentary. Huh? And speaking of babbies, Chris Williams has just became a dad. Congratulations to you both, Chris. It's absolutely fantastic. It's lovely that you just had this baby, and it's so cute. And I see you lovely photograph of the both of you with Bobby playing the room.
Baby. Welcome nerd. To No Sleep.
Yeah, so well, congratulations. Yes, he'll soon find out what us with kids say when it's like trying to find time to play games. So,
oh yeah. Well, actually, when they're super small like that, you actually get some game time in.
Yeah, you know? Sleep a lot. Eat, sleep.
Mm-hmm. Right, they sleep a lot. You get them out there on the couch with you. They're just sitting in your hands. You're playing games. Then they get a little more demanding, and suddenly all your time goes out the window.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and then add 5 more, and then you're screwed like me.
God, no thanks.
So one of the reasons I've not been on for a month is because in December, early December, on the 3rd of December, Jenny was out shopping in Asda, and she suffered a cardiac arrest. Luckily, there was an off-duty doctor in the store who gave her CPR. It took 3 minutes to revive her, but we brought her around. And she was in hospital for 3 weeks, and she had... an ICD fitted, which is like, it's like a pacemaker. It does the job of a pacemaker, but it's also got a little defibrillator in it. So if her heart stops again, it gives her a shock and gets it going again. So, yeah, it's been a... beginning of the year was horrible, and the end of the year has been horrible. She came home just in time for Christmas, so we didn't try and let it ruin our Christmas. We had a decent Christmas.
So. It really is terrible. It is terrible. I'm so glad you've said that, because I thought you were off because we didn't play your speak pipe.
Rubbing it in a little more.
Don't you dare press that button.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
No, don't.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not drinking anything this time. Oh, dear God.
Oh, it helps, Kim.
Kim, what happened? I forgot to mention this. I got one in March. But go on, Kim. What did you get in December?
I finally took bit the bullet and got an Xbox One X.
Yay! Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm pretty impressed because I played The Witcher 3 the other day. And holy shit, I thought it looked good before. Yeah. But wow.
Yeah.
That game comes off.
His butt is so tight now.
You say that.
Tight. Sorry, I've just noticed it. I wonder if you can see it on the feed. There's a poster behind you of a naked man with just about not showing his particulars.
Oh, yeah. On the wall, the calendar.
That is my Australian firefighter calendar that I got for Christmas. So, yes.
She flips the page up, there's the hose.
Yeah, those hose.
Water hose. Come on, Kim.
Hose everywhere.
All right. So that's finishing the year off in quality style. I would like to – I mean, it was an eventful year. It had a lot of highs and lows. Mark, obviously, I think you bore the brunt of some of those low lows.
Yeah. Definitely.
But the good news is we are starting 2019 off all on a positive swing. And a lot to look forward to this year. I think this is going to be, you know, we say it a lot, you know, this year's going to be the best year ever.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels like we're setting up for a really tremendous year.
Boy, I hope so.
So I think it will be. I think it will be.
Yeah.
But now we get to actually get into it. Let's talk about our games, the top games we saw and played that we thought deserved being mentioned as our top games of the year.
Cool.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we, Robin, why don't you read off Gary's list of games, and Kim, I'll have you handle Phil's.
Okay.
And then we'll dive into ours in particular, and maybe we kind of just read off one each from our list, and we'll do kind of round robin between
five, four, three, two, one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as always, Gary is fantastic with the content that he creates for this show. And the list of five was condensed into a list of one. And what Gary says is the only game that really matters this year is God of Wars.
No place for a boy.
And he completed it. He platinumed it. So that means he did everything.
Yep.
So, and I got to say, if I had played it, I probably would have had it up there as well. Mm. Gary's other stuff that he loved up there, his favorite new TV show was A Handmaid's Tale.
Blessed be the fruit.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. his favorite old TV show watched for the first time this year was The Leftovers. Don't know what that is. And he says, bring on Game of Thrones. Peace out. So, yeah, you know, that's him. So, yeah.
Wow.
And then the chat as well. Nerd Legions is saying we have to try Ashen.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tried it a little bit. Unfortunately, a lot got in the way. But Ashen is a pretty darn good game. If you like a Dark Souls-like game, Ashen is Dark Souls light. It's not. I don't feel like it's as brutal as Dark Souls, and I think it has a little bit of a friendlier graphic style in terms of how they present. But I quite liked what I played. So I plan to come back to Ashen. I think that is a game, actually, even more so than Below. I think what Ashen brought to the table more than I liked what Below did. Anyway, Kim, let's talk about Phil.
We have Phil's list here, and his games of the year are Strange Brigade at number 5, mm-hmm. State of Decay 2 at number 4, Forza Horizon 4 at number 3, Red Dead Redemption 2 at number 2, and it says if I'd have completed it, then it may have taken number 1. Mm-hmm. All right. A Mutant Year Zero is his game of the year.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got some special mentions here. So. Yeah.
Phil thought very highly of Mutant Year Zero.
Yes.
A bit more about that in a bit. But what were his special mentions, Kim?
First one would be Game Pass. He says it's definitely a reason to buy a console, superb value. 2 Point Hospital and Jurassic Park Evolution. He says 2017, he was late to play. So, That's me for everything.
On one of the sales.
Mm-hmm.
Quite liked it.
Yep.
So it's one of those building sim, kind of like a Tropico type thing where you're building a Jurassic Park and trying to keep
it. I think we'll come back over some of Phil's stuff.
Yeah, a lot
there
of it
as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think
for
the only one that really isn't mentioned by, well, SM? SM. Who's SM?
Special mentions.
Oh, that's Mark's special mentions. Okay, well, we will touch touch everything. Everyone, who the frig is SM?
Right? I was the same way for about 5 seconds. I'm like,
okay. Yeah, well, we'll probably touch on most of Phil's stuff when we chat through. So, yeah, cool.
All right, excellent. Well, let's dive into our number five. Kim, why don't you start it? We'll just go in order of the list. Kim, Mark, Rob, and me, and come back around to it.
All right, my number five is Overcooked
2. Okay. Overcooked 2, you played a ton of this game.
Oh, yes, me and Sarah, I swear to God. And this was actually the first game I think I finished all... No, well, maybe not the first game I finished all year. I think there was a couple before that. But I actually finished it, so, you know... Yes, me and Sarah, and then later on we got Nicole and Mark to play. And
yeah, I've been on a couple of times. I need to get back into it. Yeah, it's a lot
really,
of fun.
Really do. Yeah. So, I was kind of hesitant at first because I heard all the stories about the first one and how difficult it was and this, that, and the other, and I could already hear Sarah yelling at me because I was for sure going to screw up. But, no, it's been really good. And yeah, you know, two more people, like I said, Nick and Nicole have been in, or Mark and Nicole have been in there, and it's like... It's just even better. So, yeah, Overcooked 2 was my number five for the year. So,
just before I go through mine, just to let people know, these are games we've played. There's games which may have been on our list, but we haven't obviously played them. So, like, for me, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, if I'd have played it, it'd have been on there. But I haven't played it. So, my number five is Shadow of the Tomb Raider. About a third of the way through. It might have been a bit higher up if I'd played more of it. I've not played that much of it, but what I have played, I have absolutely loved. I've always loved the Tomb Raider games. So yeah, the stealth action, the tombs, I love the bow and arrow. I absolutely love the bow and arrow for headshots. So I always have done on that franchise. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, this actually is higher up on my list.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about it right now, though. I think Shadow of the Tomb Raider was a really good entry in the series that just was overshadowed at the time by Spider-Man in terms of the release.
Yeah, and then shortly after, there was all the big October releases. So, yeah.
I love the fact that they went back to the puzzles and they went back to exploring. The game is much more about the exploring and solving tombs as opposed to... being just a combat simulator.
Yeah, there was less mass murder and more exploring, I found. Yeah.
Did you keep it, Greg, on the super difficult mode that didn't show you the white marks?
Yes, so I parts of it are normal. One of the nice things about this game is there's three different switches, if you will, that you can turn on or off in terms of difficulty. So there's the exploration, there's the combat, and then one other, and I always forget what it is. I think it's survivability, something to that effect. Yeah. But the exploration I put to hard, and everything else I kept it normal. And what that basically did is, in a lot of these third-person action games, when you're exploring, say, a ledge in front of you, it'll have like a white or blue, something to identify it as being a ledge you can climb on.
Yep.
In this game, when you turn it to hard, it will basically turn those colors off. And they just blend in with the environment. And
like
so that's one
rock.
Thing.
Yeah. It just looks like even normal on normal, ledge. It's not that pronounced. I have to sometimes look quite hard. On easy, it's quite pronounced. It's like you're Uncharted, where it's like a splash of paint. But even on normal, it's not that easy to spot sometimes. It is a bit easier, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, so they have the detective mode. I call it the Batman detective mode. Your vision, you can see things highlighted in hard mode. It won't highlight the ledges regardless. Yeah. So I really enjoyed my playthrough playing it with that turned off or turned to hard and everything else just at normal. I thought it was a really good balance. It helped me immerse myself in the puzzles much better. And it made exploring, I think, a little bit more fun. A fantastic game. I would recommend, if you're a fan of Tomb Raider, for sure play it. And
sure.
You know, obviously, if you come across it on a sale, I'd say take a chance on it. But Mark, do you want to get your special mentions out of the way as well?
So I've got quite a few actually, because there were so many good games this year. Strange Brigade, which is quite a recent addition on Game Pass, I've completed that. I played nonstop for a couple of weeks, and I absolutely loved that game. So yeah, that's a big special mention for me. Sadly, it wasn't in the caliber of the games what are in my top five. Mutant Year Zero. Like Phil, I'm really enjoying this game. I'm only part way through, but it is a very good strategy, tactical game. State of Decay 2, it's just quite a lot of fun. I've played a bit of co-op with Nicole and her son, and that was a lot of fun. Not good enough to make the top five, unfortunately. Far Cry 5, for reasons I said earlier, the gameplay is fun, the story is a bit, and the ending's shit. And Sea of Thieves, it was good while it lasted, but then we moved on and it didn't have that pull to pull us back, really, did it?
No, not yet. Got to say, Mark, out of your 10 picks, there's 10 things, 50% of those are from Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah.
That's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, Game Pass is good. Like, without Game Pass, I'd have never played Strange Brigade or Mutant Year Zero.
Right.
Like State of Decay 2, we didn't have to buy that. And Forza Horizon 4, we didn't have to buy. So, yeah. Game Pass is the winner of 2018. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robin, let's talk about
your number five. Yeah, so number five is Strange Brigade. And I say this because I haven't completed it, and I'm actively playing it right now. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that over Christmas time, we've had a couple of sessions of it. Greg and Mark and myself and Kim and Mark and myself. And wow.
Horde mode is awesome, isn't it?
We played Horde mode. It was so much fun. We've had great laughs with it. It is a real little quiet burner of a game that's, you know, been there, and the quality of it and the look of it and everything is absolutely fantastic. But no wonder, because Rebellion Studios are known, have been around for a long time.
Yep.
Sniper Elite, one of your faves there, Greg, Rogue Trooper, Zombie Army Trilogy. You know, they have the kahunas for this. So these guys it's possible for them to do a AAA. Definitely, they have got the tools there, and I'm excited for Rebellion in the future. But Strange Brigade, playing it by yourself, it's all right. Playing it with a group of people,
right?
That's where it's at.
It's Gears of War, huzzah! Gears of War in the 40s, in the 30s or the 20s, good fun.
It has that Indiana Jones vibe.
Indiana
Jones, yes.
If you don't know what Strange Brigade is, and that's probably, it's a lesser known game, so it might be worth just kind of talking about what it is. It is a third person shooter. There are some puzzly bits to the game, but I mean, for the most part, it's a fairly linear experience from the story perspective. But the real draw is you can play this co-op. There are four characters that you can choose from. It is set in that kind of 1940s Indiana Jones setting where you're out exploring these exotic areas where you're kind of uncovering these mystical mystical archaeology sites is probably the best way to describe it. It just has a real good character about it. And so in co-op, this game is a hoot and it is absolutely fun. And I'm really glad you guys drug me back into it, because I had played the demo and played it earlier in the year and thought it was okay. But I mean, I played it solo. I didn't play it with other people, and so I saw it had some quality to it, but I just didn't. It didn't put hooks into me. Having played it with you guys was a blast.
Yeah, so we'll definitely do more of that. So, Strange Brigade is, again, it's in Game Pass, well worth checking out. Now, I mean, it was released quietly on PC and on PlayStation 4, I believe, somewhere. It's available there, I believe.
Yep.
But it reviewed just okay, but it's reviewed very well on Xbox One. But as a group effort, playing with people.
I see you've got a couple of special mentions as well there, Robin.
Yeah, absolutely. Robin, what are your special mentions?
Okay. Yeah. Well, the stuff that I enjoyed the most of this year that really was out of the year, Late Shift, I've already mentioned. Great full motion video thing. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, had a great time with it. because when you get into an Assassin's Creed game, you really do. And yeah. every couple of years, I'll take one on and I'll do the same with the other ones. And surprisingly, I'm still enjoying it. Super Lucky's Tale, a basic kiddies platformer, which is actually pretty rock hard in places. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the various different modes of gameplay, whether it's almost 2D like Mario and 3D or 3.5D or whatever, 2.5D or whatever you want to call it. Absolutely brilliant little platform game. So it's a little mention of me. So, yeah, those are the things I really enjoyed this year.
All right. I guess that brings me to my my number five. It's Mutant Year Zero. I really enjoyed this game, much like Phil. It didn't make it as high up on my list as Phil's, but this is a game. It's a tactical third-person tactical strategy game, but that's only part of it. There's also a third-person isometric camera angle exploration, much like Diablo in how it kind of controls in the exploration, and I just really liked the vibe of this game. I liked what they did. I think it is an accessible, to a degree, mind you, to a degree, accessible entry into the turn-based strategy games. I love the characters. I love what they just put like an invigoration into this kind of game that hasn't been there for a while. The only real knock on this game is the combat is hard. Yeah. It is difficult, and it is in very much the XCOM fashion of the original XCOM. You know, it could go south very quickly. So that was my one knock on it. I don't mind that. I don't mind that kind of grind, but I know a lot of people are going to get turned off to that. So I would say if you're new to this genre or you want to check it out, try it on easy. Don't try and play it on hard or normal.
I'm playing it on easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It will punish you. It will punish you in a lot of ways.
Well, I've noticed, like, I heard you and Phil chatting in WhatsApp saying that, and on the podcast as well, that after a mission, your health was that low. When you went into the next mission, you were pretty much fucked before you even started.
Right.
On easy, after the mission, your health goes back to full. So
right.
That makes a huge right. difference. And also you reload and everything. So, yeah, there's a few perks to be easy.
Yes. So that brings us back to number four for Kim.
Mm-hmm. Get over here, back over on the list and pay attention because obviously I was fuddling around. Anyway, my number four, and this is weird because this game actually came out before last year, but, you know, that's the way I roll. It was Oxenfree.
Brilliant. Did I play that this year? Probably I did.
I did. I played it this summer.
Yeah, because
Kim
it went
got
in the
me
game,
to play it.
Game of the Game Pass. I loved Oxenfree. It was really
right?
good, Kim.
It's still loved a game it. That I actually think about to this day that I need to fire up and go find more achievements because I think, oh, I found like five achievements, but I'd like to get more into the story to kind of, you know. And boy, that story, it was not one I was expecting.
No, and it's sort of a walk-around simulator. I mean, there's not really any... There's no combat in it whatsoever.
No.
Really? You know, there's a
really
few...
No.
But it was in depth, and the story went into places about, you know, the submarines in World War II and ghosties and ghoulies and the things that happened and murders and all the different things. And it was just brilliant.
Ghoulies, by the way, ghoulies is probably the best reference you can make there. I think this game actually just exuded the ghoulies in so many ways.
Yep.
Great game. Great game. Mm-hmm. Mark,
good stuff.
Mark, you're number four?
My number four is Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah,
absolutely loved it. I love the Horizon series. This one did live up to all expectations and more, and it was fantastic. We've had some good fun online.
Uh-huh.
It's just brilliant.
Convoy!
yeah, amazing.
Robin, this was also your number four.
Number four, and I've said, I think it's the best... It's the best arcade-style racing game that there has ever been. And there doesn't need to be another one for another 4 years. So, enough said. Brilliant. I will keep dipping into it. It is fantastic. If you wanted to buy a racing game, this is it. You know, if you're into racers and you wanted to, I've never had a game console, I want racing games, that's what you get.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Number four for me was Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I can't wait to try this.
probably could have brought this up higher if I had played more of it. I actually played this on two different platforms. I tried it out on the Steam stream, which actually probably is something we probably could have mentioned in the review of the year.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So they brought that out in beta. I got accepted into the beta, so I was able to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey on my PC, streaming it through the browser. Worked surprisingly well. And then also we had it on Xbox, thankfully, because of Mark getting a Christmas gift. I benefited from that. And I was not beholden to waiting for Christmas Day to open my gift and play it. So I enjoyed it on both the Xbox One X and on Google Stream. Really good game. In some ways, I felt like, you know, it still felt so soon with Assassin's Creed Origins. They're tweaking the formulas a little bit, even making it more RPG-like. Excuse me. I think they're getting away from also the modern-day stuff. I haven't really encountered that yet. So, I mean, you encountered it a little bit, but, I mean, it's not as big a part of this story. I like that they bring a lot of the mythology into the game. So you're getting some of those fantastical creatures that's not ever been part of the Assassin's Creed formula in the past.
In Origins, I liked a few references to Desmond and everything and his story. Do they carry that on in this? Have you noticed?
Have you not got that far? Haven't really paid that much attention. Quite honestly, I'm not fussed about Desmond. I'm not really into the Assassin's Creed lore.
Yeah.
And I think this game steps away from that lore a lot. And I like it for that. I think it's something that a lot of other people have kind of knocked it for because they wanted to continue that lore. But for me, I was kind of appreciative.
Yeah.
It also, it didn't feel like, how to put this? In previous games, you've always had that notion of, you know, you're still the assassin. You know, you have your little switchblades on your arms and, you know, you attack from up high. This game actually really felt very far from all of that. It felt like you just were a character in the age of the Greek mythology. So I liked that. I liked that because honestly, I'm growing tired of the go up high and jump down and kill the guy.
Yeah.
So I think this stirred up the pot a little bit in a good way for me. Again, if I had played more of it, maybe it would have gone higher on my list. But because I'm still fairly early on, I've enjoyed what I've played. I see the polish. I see what they've done. It's a great game from what I've played so far. And that's why I put it onto my list. I probably could have put something else up there if I wanted to, but I wanted to give it its due.
God, how time moves on. The movie came out in 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
We don't talk about that movie.
Sure. Yeah, we don't talk about that movie. Yeah.
Was it really bad?
It wasn't really good. Yeah. All right, let's slide on to number three. Kim?
Well, this is kind of two games, but the story connects, so I figure it works. I picked Banner Saga 1 and 2 for my number three game of the year.
Your specialty.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, it's got a really great story. It was something I wasn't really sure I'd played before because it's more turn-based and everything, and I'm not really into that, but for this, it was, the story was there. The story makes it, so yeah. I haven't quite finished 2 yet, but, you know, I'm getting there, and of course there's still 3 to do, so yeah. If you like these sort of things, I definitely think you should check it out because the story is just really, really good.
Alright, excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mark, Spider-Man.
Number 3 for me is Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man on the PS4. I absolutely
sorry, I didn't mean to give that away, by the way.
Well, you did, didn't you? You did. Green Goblin. Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was a fantastic game. The combat was brilliant. Very Batman-esque, but yeah, it was still fantastic. The story was great. A lot of different characters and villains in there. Just loved it from start to finish.
Puddlegate.
I've done a shit ton of side missions. Nearly done them all. Of a few, I need to go back to it and mop a few trophies up, but I never do. I keep saying I do, but I never do. But yeah, fantastic. Loved it.
You know, one thing I think that is worth just mentioning is Insomniac. Yeah. This was an absolute home run for them.
Yeah. And they're still supporting it. They're still releasing free content. They just released the Tobey Maguire's spider suit in the game.
Yeah. I mean, the previous game, Sunset Overdrive, was also a very good game, but did not do nearly as well. Yeah. Wasn't, I think, also received from the fan base as well as, say, Spider-Man.
Yeah, but the press loves Sunset Overdrive, but it didn't translate to end user. Didn't have as much buy-in. Anybody that played it loved it.
Yeah, the biggest criticism I've heard is you always had to be grinding and on the move to sort of like do anything.
And a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
Well, but also it was a new IP.
Yeah.
Unknown IP. Spider-Man is such a well-known commodity.
Well, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, so it was a no-brainer for me to get that game.
Well, and so I think it was just a huge win for Insomniac. So that was a studio that, quite honestly, you could probably make the case that they were struggling coming into this year. They hadn't had a real hit in quite a while. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man absolutely was something that knocked it out of the park for them. It's done financially extremely well. It's had huge
Imagine
sales.
Imagine the fact they'd be multi-platform, how much money they'd have made.
Yeah. Well, we shall see.
Crazy horses. Okay, for me, my third game is, I think this says a lot about where I am this year as far as my games are concerned, because I found it difficult to get into big, big games as the year has progressed. Just time hasn't been it. So my game, the third game is The Gardens Between. And this is a beautiful little coming-of-age platformer in the style of visual style of Auction Free, but the graphics are a bit bigger. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of a puzzle game.
Is this a time-related one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it tells the story of a boy and a girl that live next door and something that happens to them as they've grown up. The memories of what the things they played in the back garden, where their adventures took them, where all their memories were, the fun things they had, the things that they did in the treehouse. Well, some of the things aren't shown. I'm sure they did those things too. but so it's done in puzzles in a very clever way that you sort of rewind time a little bit to make use of different devices in it. So a lot of the materials that you're with are sort of back in the 80s. So, you know, cassettes and music. And it's a beautiful little thing. And it was an Australian developer called the Voxel Agents. Really haven't done an awful lot before. But The Gardens Between, again, it's on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, go check this out. I thoroughly recommend The Gardens Between. It's lovely. It's probably about 6 or 7 hours long at most. Really, really well worth playing. Something unique and very different about it. Spotted it first at the EGX and was so happy to play it. And when it appeared for an inverted commas free, just no-brainer.
Yep.
No-brainer.
All right. Great game. I might have to check it out. For me, it was Forza Horizon 4. I know we've already talked about it. I think for me, the reason why maybe it gets a little bit more of a higher nod for me also is the fact that I didn't play as much of Forza Horizon 3 as the two of you had done. So it still felt pretty new. I love the thing that they did with the seasons. I think that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did make a difference in playing the game. Game did change with the different seasons and how the cars handled and what cars you would use.
Yeah, some of the
I think that was the other big thing.
Yeah, some of the challenges you had to do, some of the bonus boards. If it was winter, you had no chance of getting them because you couldn't get enough speed up and you were too slidy. Yeah. So
I suppose if you remember how much Forza Horizon 3 I played, I think I burnt myself out playing it for 24 hours straight.
So, you did play quite a bit. All right. Moving along. Number two.
Pointy end now.
Yeah. Pointy end. Kim, number two.
My number two is one we've already talked about quite a bit, and that is Strange Brigade.
Well worth the number two slot.
Yeah. Based solely on the co-op, actually. So.
Yeah.
And the fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The campaign's really good. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. In fact, Phil was texting me yesterday. He was struggling on a certain boss fight. It's, how do you do this? So, yeah, it's got all of us going as this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you're number two.
Yeah, my number two is Red Dead Redemption 2. I know, controversial or what?
You'll change your mind.
It is a fantastic game. I've just got to chapter 4, so I just did that this week. Finished chapter 3, I'm on chapter 4. It is an amazing game. It's fantastic. It looks gorgeous. It's brilliant. It is everything we wanted. I've got a few niggles with it. I tend to die too easy. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I get ambushed and then
it happens. Yeah. It did for me for the first time.
And it's
it
frustrating.
Happens.
And if you've got some good, perfect pelts on you, they've gone, and all that hunting you've done has gone to waste. But apart from that, it's amazing. It's fantastic. Absolutely love it.
All right. Let us move forward, Robin.
Okay, number two. Again, we're going to another sort of puzzly platformer game. And this is something, again, from EGX. I was handed a copy of a game called Figment. And Figment is a musical adventure, again, in the similar sort of style as The Gardens Between and Oxenfree.
It reminded me of Bastion.
Yeah, very much like Bastion. Very, very good. And this is made from guys from Denmark. Again, they've done a few things, but very small. Love this to pieces. This is about a guy who has a car accident and he's in a coma, you believe, and you're in his dreams and his memories and how he fights his way back out of that coma to real life. And he fights his inner demons of the badness in him and keeping him down. And there's fantastic spidery monsters and all sorts of weird, wonderful puzzle things that you have to do. Very, very clever. The music and the score is second to none this year. Absolutely fabulous. Just the way that the music changes beat with what you're doing and as the story progresses, just fantastic. So Figment, it is coming to consoles. I did play this on a P and a C.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really well worth picking up. And I think it was probably free in Humble Bundles. You probably have it if you have a PC and you're a Humble Bundle person. So again, I thoroughly recommend Figment.
Okay.
I will add it to the list.
So we're going to circle back around, but because I see what is on everybody's list, Mark, we're going to have you talk about your number one now, and then we will have others talking about their number one.
What's wrong with your number two?
I suppose we could talk about my number two. We actually already talked about my number two.
Yeah.
I suppose. I'm not talking about your number twos any longer.
I know. So Shadow of the Tomb Raider made number two on my list. Yeah. One of my favorite moments of this game was actually fairly early on in the game. You're in the jungle. You're first kind of entering into the jungle.
I know what you're going to say.
And you're being stalked. And I'm not going to say anything about that. Yeah. But there's some tremendous audio usage in terms of how they have the audio playing with you, and I don't know if it was different on different settings, but because of the settings I was playing on, you know, walking through the jungle felt genuinely tense. I mean, I was like, I hear something. I know something's coming after me or stalking me somewhere off in the bushes.
You do see little things out the corner of your eye. Because I texted you straight away, didn't I? As soon as I'd finished that bit, I said to you, oh, my God. I thought you were going to reference the cover yourself in mud and get stick to the walls. Because that's a great addition for stealth.
Yeah, that is it was a great stealth addition, truly.
Yeah.
But no, this moment
of
being
exactly
in the jungle and feeling just the intense nervousness of not knowing where or when something might be coming at me. It was just a really great moment in that game. Shadow of the Tomb Raider made it to my number two for the year.
Yeah.
And
like I said, it'd probably been higher on mine if I'd have played more of it. But yeah, it's a great game. Yeah, so you want my number one?
I do. Let's hear
it. Different to all you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's hear your failed number one. What?
My number one is God of War. It was tough to choose between Red Dead and God of War, but for the sheer enjoyment factor, it's got to be God of War for me. I love that game from start to finish. I haven't got a bad thing to say about it. The story is brilliant. The graphics are amazing. The implementation of stuff, the animations, the characters, it's just absolutely a superb, top-notch game. Last generation, I said that The Last of Us was my game of generation. This generation, for me, so far, it's God of War. It's my gaming generation.
Okay.
It's just superb. Like I said, there's nothing bad I can say about it. It's just unbelievable. And Kyle Adams lent me it originally on disc. So I've still got quite a bit to go back to because I finished main story so I could send it back to him so he could play it. I've recently got it on eBay quite cheap, so I'm going to go back to it for definite. In fact, they've just done an update where you can do New Game Plus. So you can start the game again, but you've got all your power-ups and all your armor and everything. And I've actually started that before I've even gone back to do all the rest of them mopping up just to see what it was like. And I did that battle again at the beginning where you meet the stranger. I won't give any spoilers, but that battle at the beginning, that the first thing you come across, and it just grips you right from the start. So if you haven't played it and you've got a PS4, you must at some time play God of War.
Definitely, Will. Yeah. Definitely.
Yep.
Just on a little sort of tangent on voices and just when you mentioned The Last of Us before,
yeah.
I've been watching this thing called Damn It. It's a detective stupid thing from the 90s.
Detective stupid thing?
Yeah. It's about this guy who's sort of a psychic, and he helps the California Bureau of Investigation.
L.A. Noir?
No. It's a TV. The Mentalist. It's a crappy detective thing. Anyway, sorry. So I was watching an episode of it the other night, and I'm going, I know that girl from somewhere. I know that girl, definitely. And it turned out the actress is a girl called Ashley Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And Ashley Johnson is the voice of Ellie.
From The Last of Us.
And so many other games.
Yeah.
But I knew her face from somewhere. And it was What Women Want with Mel Gibson.
Right.
Yep.
She played his daughter.
Right.
And I went, oh, isn't the world a big, big peach?
Every time I see Stephen Ogg, like in Walking Dead, and I've seen him in a few other roles. I think he was in, I can't remember what it was called. He's in a few sort of like cop things. All I see is Trevor from GTA.
Oh God,
he is Trevor. So I see him in Walking Dead, and just thinking he's going to just talk.
It's the same character. It is the same character.
Yeah.
Goodness, and it's a Minecraft character.
And the same with Nolan North. I've seen him in a few TV programs.
So many things.
And you just think, oh, God, that's freaking Nathan Drake.
Yeah. And she was in so many things. Petra in Minecraft Story Mode, Lego Dimensions, Terra.
It's amazing how much work these people are doing in the voice acting.
And Troy Baker, he's been in hundreds of games.
Loads.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so, there you are.
God of War, Mark's favorite game of the year.
Yeah, so what about you guys?
Good. That's a good pick. Very good pick, Mark.
Are you guys in unison?
Real game of the year.
No.
Let's talk about the real game of the year. This is number one for all of us, Robin, Kim, should have been Mark, and myself. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Damn.
Nerds Allegiance and Sarah both agree with me.
They're not on the show, are they? They don't get a vote.
This is cheaty of me, Greg, to have Red Dead Redemption here, because I haven't played enough of it to be annoyed with it yet. So I might regret this decision.
Well, according to Greg, I've not played enough of it to fall in love with it as much as what Greg has.
But I've played enough of it to know, but it's just been time for me. Mm-hmm. But I just... It's adorable. It's gorgeous. There's so much depth to it already, and some of the funny little things that have happened. I just can't wait to get back to it and spend more and more time with it.
Yeah, look, I know it. This is an open world game. It has its bugs. It has moments that frustrate people. Mark, we were talking about, you know, combat can be frustrating if you're not using Deadeye, which is one of the special abilities.
Yeah, since you said that, I had made sure my Deadeye is always topped up now after a battle, so I'm prepared. But for me, I don't know if it's just me being shit, but it runs out so quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I forget to keep checking on my health, because the little meat is so small and it out of the way. It's easy to forget about your health bar.
Yeah, I know people are not going to get on with
my fault.
I know it is not perfect. I also know it's a fantastic game. But
yeah. I agree.
Sorry,
I will go out.
I have to remove my number one from this because it's not right. One. I have to remove it from there because I haven't finished.
I know what's your true number one.
Right for it to be there.
I know what your true number one is.
My true number one is written on that screen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of controversial, I'll get to that at the end.
No, I think we've all said this before. So yeah.
We'll talk about that at the wrap up. But Red Dead Redemption 2, look, there's this game from the single player story aspect of it, and not talking about the online, because I think that is a separate element and something that can be kept separate and not take away from the game. This is one of the best, if not the best, stories ever written, ever told in the game. I think that the voice acting, the music scores, the way they have woven the story together and the way that they allow you to push the story forward is just bar none better than anything I've ever played. I think the character of Arthur Morgan evolves in such a way that when you first play this game, I looked at him as being kind of a bit of a meathead and a character, honestly, I didn't all that embrace.
I quite like Arthur Morgan, yeah.
And I grew to love Arthur Morgan.
Yeah.
I have finished the entire game. I will not talk about the ending of the game.
I felt the
ending of this game was better than the original Red Dead Redemption, which I thought the original Red Dead Redemption was good.
Yeah.
Yep.
This ending put that to shame, if you ask me.
Wow.
Arthur's tale is one that...
Holy shit, really?
It is so good. It is so good.
No aliens this time?
No aliens.
No Godzilla.
So, Greg, tell me, what did you call your horse?
I actually had four different horses. I got a little tired of naming them. At first, the first one was Feckin' Whiskey. I then added Mr. Ed.
Hello, family.
I added Mr. Ed, and I finished up with Wilbur. Those were my three main horses. And then I stole a horse and added it to my stable somehow. So I didn't have an attachment to my horse.
I've had one horse all the way through until very recent when there was a mission. And someone said, "Oh, you want to take his horse?" And it was a spotted one. I can't remember the name of it. But they said it's a really good horse. So that's my second horse I've had. But the first one I had, I picked the Thoroughbred at the beginning. I don't know if it was a DLC horse. And that's been superb all the way through. I've not needed another horse. Luckily, I haven't had a huge desire to
add horses. Other than I found out there's an achievement for having five horses.
Ah, right.
So it's just an FYI.
But my spotted horse I call Spot.
So is the online thing going to be a big thing?
That's a good question. I don't think it's going to hit the levels of GTA Online. I think part of that is because the online, quite honestly, to me, the online just feels like an extension of the single player, except for you can play it in co-op. So you can play it with friends, but it feels very much the same as the single player. You know, you have the same towns. You have, you know, the same kind of pace to the game. So I don't know if it's going to, you know, take on this huge uprising or not the way GTA did. I have a feeling it's just going to kind of exist. And I think that's okay. I think it's the game plus mode, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as just the main game, it is one that... I cannot say enough about it. I don't want to spoil anything for those of you that are playing it.
Thank you.
But the motion capture, the attention to detail on every little thing. And one of the things I'll say, and this is where the game really gripped me and said, this is a game that they understand that everybody is probably going to approach things differently. I was riding along. I came across these two guys that were trying to open a safe.
They
clearly stolen the safe.
We've talked about this.
I came up to it, and I think the way, you know, they probably envisioned you as you ride up and you kind of engage in conversation. maybe talk about splitting the loot or something. I don't know. But I was at that point where I was very gun-shy of approaching strangers. So I decided, screw it. I'm shooting both these guys. No questions asked. And I shoot both of them dead. And I walk up to the safe and I think, oh, I'll just be able to crack open the safe. And it doesn't give me the option. And I'm like, ah, crap. Did I just screw myself out of finding whatever is in the safe? And just on a whim, I thought, well, let me just take a stick of dynamite and throw it at the safe. And sure enough, it blew the door off the safe, and I was able to get the money, inside out of the safe. And I just was like, okay, that is great. So this game delivered so much more than what I expected. I thought I would like the story. I love the story. I love the character of Arthur Morgan. And I wish there could be a Red Dead Redemption 3 right now. I would play that.
Wow. Look, do you know what? This year has been so strong with games, from your Spider-Mans to your God of Wars to Forzas to the Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Assassin's Creed. It's been so strong. And out of all those, none of us is right. Everybody, and nobody's wrong here.
All down to personal opinion.
Yeah. Apart from Greg, he's right. Yeah.
Thank you.
But, you know, it has been a fantastically strong year for games. So, and let's hope that this year is as strong and that we're stuck. You know, if Assassin's Creed Odyssey was the only game to come out this year and Forza Horizon 4, you know, you'd be still waxing lyrical about how good these games were.
True.
You know, so, or Shadow of the Tomb Raider, anyone there are worthy.
Robin. I know you talked about the music in Figment. The music in Red Dead Redemption 2 probably does not get talked about enough.
It's awesome.
I'm cheating and taking this from Giant Bomb. Okay. I learned listening to them. They wrote over 90 individual pieces of music for this game, for this story.
Okay.
Different moments playing
for a smaller game. Figment is fantastic.
No, I know. I'm not taking away from Figment.
And it's class.
It made me think. I should talk about the music in Red Dead, because honestly, the music becomes even more impactful as the game progresses. And I will just say this, the ending areas of the game, there's a musical score that plays that is just, you just sit back and you're just like, wow. And it was emotional, it was impactful, and just so well placed and so well done. Mm-hmm. In the steps of the game that it was one of those real wow moments. So
did you cry like a baby?
No, I did not cry. Coulda. No. I didn't.
Coulda.
And there that are epilogue missions. Yeah, there are epilogue missions to note. So the game, when it finishes, there is some additional stuff you can play through, similar to what they did in Red Dead Redemption, mm-hmm. the original one. Yeah. It is just a very big, full game.
Well done, Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. I think that gets the score of the podcast team overall, I think.
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, your game of the year.
The elephant of my real game of the year. And
Is it app of the year? Huh?
Oh, well, yes, I have been playing a game over the last couple of days called Bacon. And it could probably win Game of the Year. Bacon is the best game ever. It is just perfect. This game, probably on Android as well, on iOS, what happens is a hand comes into the screen and waggles a piece of bacon. And it drops the bacon down onto a frying pan. And you have to press the screen to flick the frying pan to make the bacon go as high as you can, and because it comes down at different angles, it can go at different angles. And the idea of the game is you drop the bacon on top of things. So you drop it on top of a cat, or on top of a cocktail, or on top of the number 17, or up into a spaceship, and the laser comes down and grabs the bacon and takes it. And that's all it is. But it's bacon.
Not what I was thinking, by the way.
Okay, so For me as a gamer, and as a gamer that wants to try new things all the time, and is not a PC gamer a lot, so I don't dip in and out of lots of stuff. But for me this year, the best thing for a gamer to have in his or her or whatever gender they decide to be,
their arsenal is Game Pass by Xbox. I played games this year that I would never play, would never have bought Strange Brigade or The Gardens Between or Oxenfree, probably, unless it was silly, silly cheap. And lots of Late Shift, another one that I played this year. Super Lucky's Tale, again, all in there in Game Pass. 50% of Mark's picks and mentions are from Game Pass this year. Yeah. Fantastic, fantastic value. And new stuff is coming in there. Yes, there are some odd, crappy things in there. But for me, the game of the year or the app of the year or the feature of the year is Xbox Game Pass. And if Sony can put together something like that, that will secure their role in history for years to come. So, yeah, you know, well done, Microsoft.
The interesting thing, you know, I fully agree on Game Pass. I think it is a tremendous value. And I think a lot of people would say, well, Sony has PlayStation Now. And my counter to that is until Sony brings their first party titles into game, PlayStation Plus Now, that it's not the same. I think the chance, chance is probably the best way to put it. Maybe desperation, you call it desperation if you want, for Microsoft to say all of our first party content will be day one in Game Pass is what I think makes Game Pass so much, you know, it makes it viable. Mm. On its own, if it was just a collection of older games that were coming in like Netflix, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But because they're not only getting fresh day one content from Microsoft, but they're also getting fresh day one content from third-party developers. You know, Mutant Year Zero, Ashen, Below, there's going to be Phoenix Point, which if you don't know Phoenix Point, that's from the original creator of XCOM. Their game is coming day one to Game Pass next year or this year. Those titles they're being able to pull in and get for day one, I think is what makes this, I hate to use the term game changer, but it does make it feel different than just a rental service.
But the value for money as well, because just three games just off the top of my head, what I'd have bought or gone halves with you with Greg. Sea of Thieves, Forza Horizon 4, and State of Decay 2. Them three games alone, $60 each. That's paid for Game Pass for 2 years. More. It's a no-brainer. You just if you've got an Xbox One, Game Pass is the way to go, especially if you're a new gamer to Xbox.
Right.
Yeah, someone like Pete has, as well. Pete Chen.
It doesn't need to buy anything, does it?
No.
Right.
No, so
and it is something that is shareable. So if you are doing game sharing with a friend or family member, Game Pass works that way. So you only have to buy one service.
Yeah, I do get a downside. Every time I go onto Game Pass, it tells me to buy it. But it still lets me install the game, but it still says you need to buy Game Pass. But I can still install them, so it's not a problem. But
So well done. I think it's a fantastic service. And yes, as it says, your PS4 now has PS now has PS4 titles in it. But he agrees that they need them day one, and I think that's a killer. And the lovely thing is this is going on for years to come, and all these new development houses that they've brought in, those games that they're developing will be there day one as well, which is super duper. Anyway, what a year! There you go.
It's been a tremendous year.
Yeah.
Looking forward to 2019. We kind of wrapping things up tonight. We're looking forward to the new year. We're looking forward to a new Victories Achieved contest. We'll have a new quiz. So woo-hoo! Fear not. That will all be coming back. I believe the plan as of today is for next week potentially to be our prediction podcast. So we'll talk about kind of what we're thinking is going to be happening in the year to come. And we invite listeners, if you want to give us your predictions.
Fuck off.
We happily will take those in as well. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
By the way, that was a speech I will never, ever forget. All right. If you want to be part of the conversation, come on every weekend. We're here. twitch.tv/OC podcast, mixer.com/OC podcast. youtube.com/OC podcast. We're on at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island. If you're on Easter Island, you've got nothing better to do than listen to us and eat dinner. And if you're in Australia, specifically Melbourne, 7 a.m., have some coffee with us. Come on. But if you can't make it live, we're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. You can pick up the show for an audio version only. Play it while you're at the gym. Everybody's going to be at the gym right now, you know, trying to get fit for the new year. Might as well throw on our podcast. If you want to play with individuals like us, you can contact us with your direct message, and Robin will send you photographs that you don't want to share in the office. Or you can join a club. We have OC Podcast Club on Xbox One. We have the OC Podcast Community on PlayStation 4. We have the OC Podcast Group on Steam. And on a service that I don't think anybody's really using this anymore, Discord. We have the OC Podcast server on Discord, apparently. But more importantly, we want you to hear this.
Oh, shit, that's me. I'm out of practice.
Rookie!
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Fuck off.
I saw Robin's arm move.
Alright, let's shout it out. Kim, start the shout outs, please.
Alrighty, I'm going to shout out our shatters, and there's been a few. Not sure how many of them are bots, but what the hell. Here we go. Commander Root, Ableist TV, Nerd Allegiance, Filthy has been in there, RCGC, Slow Cool, Jimmy Sartoro, Cog Whistle, Positivity Bot, I'm pretty sure that's a bot, another TTV viewer.
Keep it away.
Right. Viva La Pedros is in there, Active Energy, Host_giveaway, pretty sure that might be a bot, and Paula Z. I am assuming I'm saying that one right. Those were our shatters for today, so thanks for coming by and hanging out with us and giving us some things to read and look at and respond to. You know, it's always awesome. As for the other shout-outs, you guys, of course, it's always fun. And we've got another year of this shit to do, so woohoo! And, you know, I don't know, 2019. Here's to another year that hopefully, you know, keeps doing good things, I hope. And shout out to Rain God Zippo, because apparently last show I said his name wrong, so I apparently called him Rainbow God Zippo, so sorry.
That was his 70s version.
Exactly.
I changed the name. Rainbow right. God Zippo.
Well, I think he did on Twitter for a little while, so there. Yeah. So there, Womble, I got his name right this time. So yeah, that's it for me. How about you there, Robin?
I would like to shout out guys in the podcast. I love doing this. Thank you very much for having me for another year. Got 5 years in for me. I want to also shout out everybody I've had fun with this year, whether it be online or through the show or meeting face-to-face, whether it be at any of the meetups from the Retro Arcade Club to the Duke Meet to EGX and everything in between. I've had a ball with you guys this year, and I hope 2019 brings lots and lots more fun this year with EGX in London, surprises are happening, maybe a Retro Arcade Club and all that. So if you ever get the chance to meet us in the flesh, come. I will only hug you once unless you look at me nicely. So, look forward to a good 2019. Some better luck for Mark Annex. Better luck. And for Phil and for Rich as well. They have a good, successful year this year. So, and for all of us. And the Kim isn't a babysitter all year long. So, Mark.
I want to shout out all the podcast team for all the support this year, all the listeners for all the messages of support and love I've been sending with the ups and downs I've had. So, yeah, really appreciate it. Really makes a difference. So thank you very much. And I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. I'll let you take us out, Greg.
All right. One thing I forgot to mention was an audiobook. I wanted to make sure I mentioned Arisen. I'm going to pimp this book to the end of time. If I finally finished the entire series, it's a 14-book series. It is a tremendous audiobook.
Awesome.
If you like well-voiced, narrated, zombie apocalypse type setting in modern times. Check it out, Arisen. It is great, and it's on audio Audible. Pick it up. Well worth your listen. I want to shout out the three of you. I want to shout out all of our podcast team. You guys have all done tremendous work this year. Everybody really stepping up. It's great to see. It warms my heart to see our podcast team grow. I also want a big shout out to our family. So as in our spouses, kids, siblings, extended family, they all let us do this. And, you know, I mean, quite honestly, you know, without them giving us the time, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So big cheer to them. Thank you for a fantastic year all the way around. Thank you to the listeners. You guys also, again, are a big reason why we do this and why we're able to do this. So we appreciate all of you chiming in, checking it out, taking part in the chat, taking part in contests, taking part in gaming nights. It's a great community to be part of, and we are humbled to be a part of that. And on that note, Mark, spin us out.
You're going to make me cry.
No!
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
And I got to talk about everything!
He's stuck it all in there.